piece of the fighter plane flown by Wisconsin ace pilot Richard Bong will be on display in his Wisconsin hometown. The fragment was recovered from a more than 80-year-old wreck in the Papua New Guinea. It's Monday, August 3rd. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, the city of Madison says it's time for an encampment to end that's blocking the intersection where a police shooting took place.
I think we've done enough out here.
And Madison police do not have body cameras, despite leadership's previous call for the technology. That may be changing after a recent city resident was shot and killed by an officer. Stay with us.
What started with one experimental license more than 100 years ago is today Wisconsin Public Radio. With dozens of stations around the state, an app, and a comprehensive website at WPR.org. Thank you to our donors who have made this journey possible.
The wingtip from a wreck of a fighter plane flown by Wisconsin ace pilot Richard Bong has been bought to northern Wisconsin. Another pilot crashed the P-38 plane in a Papua New Guinea in 1944. Danielle Kading has more.
So this is the right wingtip. Still has the red paint on it.
Brianna Fiant shows off a piece of the plane that Richard Bong nicknamed Marge after his girlfriend, who he later married. She's curator of a Superior Museum named after the famous pilot who shot down 40 Japanese aircraft in World War II. In 2024, a team found the wreck, and Bong's 99-year-old sister, Jerry Fechtel-Cotter, said it was a great discovery.
But we'd like to have something back here.
Months later, she passed away. Fiant says Jerry was on her mind when she and others reached the wreck in June to bring back a piece from Papua New Guinea.
I was just talking to her in my head, like, okay, Jerry, we did it.
The wingtip will be displayed at the Superior Museum in the coming weeks. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Madison's mayor announced on Sunday that cars will be towed if they continue to block traffic near an encampment on the city's Near East Side. For more than a week, the William Street intersection, where a Madison police officer fatally shot Corey Ruiz on July 22nd, has been occupied by demonstrators. The encampment includes tents, grills, porta-potties, and signs memorializing Ruiz. One of the people at the site yesterday afternoon was Diorian Smith. He knew Ruiz and says his death was not justified. Still, Smith indicated he's open to the mayor's concerns about conditions at the encampment.
I think we've done enough out here. It's time to be diplomatic. Time to start having the streets look like trash.
Over the past few days, Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway has said repeatedly that the encampment has become a public health hazard. The mayor has not said what tactics the city will use if people do not leave voluntarily. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin toured Milwaukee's Elections Operations Center on Friday. As Anya Van Wagendonk reports, the city is highlighting its election security efforts less than 2 weeks out from the midterm primary.
Baldwin said she wanted to take Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson up on his offer, issued to Vice President J.D. Vance, to see how elections work in Wisconsin's biggest city. The Trump administration for years has pushed unproven claims about improper ballot dumping in Milwaukee. Baldwin argued that they are continuing to promote those ideas going into the midterms.
There was a nonpartisan audit that confirmed that there was no widespread fraud in the state of Wisconsin. But Trump is now reheating those lies.
The visit comes after President Donald Trump signed an executive order aimed at restricting mail-in voting, and shortly after an appeals court found the order is unconstitutional. Earlier this week, Trump called on the U.S. Supreme Court to take up his proposal. Anya Van Wagendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
People from Haiti living in Wisconsin are worried they will be deported after the Trump administration announced it has ended protections for Haitian immigrants with temporary protected status. That status applies to people from countries that have been designated as too dangerous to return to, typically because of war or natural disasters. People from Haiti have had temporary protected status in the U.S. for 16 years. The nation remains torn by gang violence, especially in the capital of Port-au-Prince. The Reverend Maxwell Maceno is pastor to the Haitian community at Living Water Church in Appleton. He told WPR's Wisconsin Today that members of his congregation cannot return safely.
They left their businesses and it's been looted and it's occupied by gangs and they have no place to go and they live in the capital. And it's almost sending people to the butcher.
The Trump administration told WPR that, quote, temporary status is exactly that, temporary. A transmission utility is asking state and federal regulators to approve a plan aimed at shielding customers from project costs tied to data centers. Joe Schultz has more on the proposal from American transmission company and We Energies.
The utilities filed applications late last month seeking approval of a transmission charge agreement for Microsoft's data center campus in Mount Pleasant. ATC says the agreement would require We Energies to pay the full amount of transmission capacity requested for the project, even if Microsoft ultimately uses less than anticipated. Bob McKean is with the transmission utility.
We are going to build the facilities needed to serve that load when it was requested, and then we will charge the local utility, which per its tariffs and agreements, will then turn around and charge that end-use customer.
It comes as ATC is planning $2 billion in transmission infrastructure tied to data centers across the state. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Registered nurses with bachelor's degrees can now teach college-level courses in Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers signed an order last month allowing nurses with bachelor's degrees to teach hands-on clinical courses. The change is designed to ease a faculty shortage in nursing programs and allow the colleges to admit more students. Previously, nursing instructors were required to have a master's degree. Wisconsin is joining at least 12 other states in implementing the change. Jill Gatorumson is dean of Marquette University's College of Nursing. She says leaders of programs in other states that already allow instructors with bachelor's degrees tell her the system works well.
This is a move for faculty that'll increase our faculty numbers without compromising nursing education.
Republicans have united behind Congressman Tom Tiffany's run for governor, but he still faces a first-time GOP challenger. Rich Kramer talked with 27-year-old Andy Mansky, who is running against the odds.
Mansky is clear-eyed about his chances against Tiffany, but says his shoestring campaign has already had an impact on the race. He claims Tiffany and the four remaining Democrats vying for governor have copied his stance on banning AI data centers. Other Mansky policy proposals break the typical GOP mold. He says he'd legalize marijuana, cut the cost of college tuition in half, and use artificial intelligence to consolidate state agencies. He's raised around $1,100 this year. Tiffany has raised millions. Mansky says that's fine.
I'm the only non-politician in this race, and I'm proud to be the only non-politician in this race, honestly. And so, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whatever happens, because at this point, I've already won to a little bit, right?
Despite the odds, Mansky says he's charging ahead to the August 11th primary election. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, Madison City leaders have previously resisted calls to adopt body cameras. After a high-profile police shooting, that may change. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Public Radio brings the state together. With reports from our eight bureaus around the state and conversations about topics that matter to you, WPR is your connection to the pulse of Wisconsin. We are your source for in-depth news from Wisconsin, the U.S., and the world.
For more than a decade, efforts to outfit Madison police officers with body cameras have stalled, even as the devices have become widely used by virtually every large district in the state. Activists and skeptical elected leaders have fought efforts to implement them. As Sarah Lear reports, that's changing after a fatal police shooting in the city last month.
There have been days of protests in Madison since a police officer shot Corey Ruiz, a 38-year-old black man, on July 22nd. Bystander video shows four police officers struggling to restrain him, and then one officer shoots Ruiz three times. Police say Ruiz pulled out a knife, which led to an officer being injured. Wisconsin's Department of Justice is expected to review video evidence as part of an ongoing investigation into the shooting. But those investigators will not be looking at body cam footage. That's a problem, lawyers for the Ruiz family say. Here's B. Ivory Lamar, one of those attorneys, at a recent press conference.
We are in a major metropolitan city in the state of Wisconsin, and Madison is one of the few cities that still does not have police body cams.
Research shows that the vast majority of police departments in large cities use body cameras, But in Madison, only officers on the SWAT team and motorcycle units have them. For more than a decade, Madison's elected leaders have debated whether to expand body cameras department-wide. But efforts have been stymied in Wisconsin's most liberal city. Some groups have raised privacy concerns. Monker Donway, a leader with the local activist group Freedom Inc., spoke against body cameras at a committee meeting back in 2020.
It's just giving them another tool to surveil our communities, which they don't need.
Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway supported a pilot program which allowed some officers to test the cameras in 2024. But in the past, she stopped short of backing the cameras on a citywide basis. That's changed. The day after the police shooting, Rhodes Conway announced she's asking the city council for at least $400,000 to phase in body cameras over a three-year period starting in 2027.
My main concern has been the cost. When we initially got the estimates from the pilot, there was a very large price tag, and the chief has worked to bring that price tag down in various ways.
Police and prosecutors use body cam footage as evidence to convict criminals. It's also used to investigate police misconduct. Madison's police chief wants body cameras. So does the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, a union representing law enforcement officers. Jim Palmer is the executive director.
Body camera footage can, you know, support an officer's actions, and sometimes it raises difficult questions. But either way, you know, body-worn cameras provide investigators and the public with a more complete picture.
City Council President Sabrina Madison says she believes body cameras will have the votes to clear the council later this year.
The community for a while was not wanting to implement body-worn cameras yet, and that has changed.
Research is mixed on whether body cameras reduce how often officers use force. And Council President Madison says it's impossible to know whether body cameras would have prevented Ruiz's death. After police shootings, people want answers about what happened. And she says body cameras are one tool for transparency. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Madison's Common Council will be meeting on Tuesday night for the first time, they say, since the shooting. That meeting will be in virtual format only. A city spokesman says the decision came out of an abundance of caution after threats against multiple elected officials. And now for a check of the forecast. Patchy fog early, otherwise mostly sunny and warm today, with highs in the low to mid-80s statewide. Tonight, partly cloudy and mild. Expect a 40% chance of showers late in the far northwest, and then lows will drop in the upper 50s to low 60s. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of scattered showers central and north, and then partly cloudy and quite warm in the south. Highs will reach the mid-70s to mid-80s. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News on this Monday. And special thanks to our reporter, Evan Casey, for waking up early and helping out with the podcast today. I really appreciate it. I'm Courtney Everett, and we'll see you back here tomorrow for more news from WPR.